Wow, and I have to say, this is quite a pleasure to come on the air right now for Wrestle Reaction Live, right after WWE Raw. I am your host, Frank Manzo, along with my host,
Dr.
Joe
Peter
Omega.
Joe Omega.
Dr.
Peter Venkman.
That's right, and wow, WWE, two nights of serious production. We're not the guys to say we told you so, but Joe...
We told you so.
Yeah, you know it. I mean, between the pre-show yesterday, the post-show last night, all the stuff we've been doing on Twitter, we were some of the first people to tell you, look for a serious change in what is going on in WWE right now, the total environment of the roster, guys switching between heels and faces, and this is what has happened. The past two nights of WWE, between the pay-per-view WWE Payback last night and a stellar three-hour Raw tonight, have actually produced changes, and it looks like WWE has an actual lineup of booking, Joe. It looks like they know what they're doing. It looks like they have a strong grip on their summer program that they're going to go with. Look at what we just saw to go off the air. We're getting Brock versus Punk before we even thought we were going to get it.
I
mean, at minimum, SummerSlam, we thought. But, I mean, with that kind of ending...
Well, with the Heyman-Punk interaction, you know, P.J. and I were tweeting back and forth online. He was calling for something big. He was thinking Lesnar, and I'm like, you know, I'm thinking Lesnar myself, but just not this early.
Very, very early.
I mean, they're really pushing the button here to really give a go with a lot of different things to shake it up. Really, the switches with the Del Rio and the Sweat and the Ziggler, the Swagger and the Cesaro now maybe coming together. They're doing a lot of different things to try to shake this roster up and just shake up Raw. Make it interesting. Mark Henry's promo was excellent.
Definitely.
There was not many things on here that was useless tonight.
Absolutely not. It all seemed to progress at least one character per segment. Obviously, guys did get squashed. That is the purpose of it. But, Joe, me and you have analyzed WWE in particular for so long, pro wrestling, and it's easy to correlate things going on. And I think it was very easy to see these past two shows, tonight's Raw and Payback last night, that Vince McMahon is responding to this 2.6 rating that Raw got a few weeks ago that he was really pissed off about. Obviously, he didn't understand the talk backstage. He didn't understand that the Miami Heat was a huge draw for the NBA Finals, and that's why that happened that night. But Vince is on the attack right now. He's changing it up. The things that seem to not be working, a la Alberto Del Rio as a face, they're getting mixed back up. They're going back to the safe play. They throw him in. They do a big switcheroo with him and Ziggler. Dolph comes back tonight. Who thought we'd even see him after the way he went out last night?
Hey,
there was
surprised.
So much going on just now. And look how much they gave us in a closing segment. We're used to the past couple weeks of terrible Ryback and John Cena segments to close the show. And look at what we just got. I think just Dolph Ziggler coming back and hitting and getting it to Del Rio and ending the night like that would have had us come on the air and actually think that tonight was a pretty decent wrestling show. But you get Brock Lesnar coming out, and that is just a treat whenever it happens.
Well, that's something we always talk about. We always talk about, you know, the WWE championships usually go last on the show. Punk usually didn't have that when he was champion. It would be Cena closing the show with whoever. But tonight, it was CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. And before that, it was Dolph Ziggler with Del Rio on the outside. And people think maybe it overshadowed the Ziggler and the Del Rio, but I don't think it's going to. I think there's still going to be plenty of fire lit under Dolph Ziggler's ass and plenty of following for Dolph Ziggler to keep everybody into the WHC. Because, number one, like you said, Del Rio's turn tonight. He got more of a reaction tonight as a heel than he did for his whole, what is it, 3-4 months as a face now?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, probably more than that, right? Probably six months? Probably all of 12?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, 2013, easy.
Excuse me, 2013? 12.
A face, definitely. No,
but yeah, he had more reaction tonight. And even when Ricardo came out at the beginning, he was even booed. So the fans were totally ready to turn back on this guy. He was not getting over his face. This is the way to do it.
Yeah.
And we've been saying it. Listen, if the guy is getting booed and getting no reaction as a face, don't make him be a face. You're wasting your time. Fans don't want to see it. The fans will let you know who they like.
Definitely.
And just go with that. It's a simple...
Yeah, like I said, it looks like they're taking things that are you know, not really working out, and they're flipping it back to the safe thing. Del Rio is a prime example of this. I don't think anybody has really thought that face Del Rio got over like maybe they had planned to. They did put some real time and money into the Swagger Del Rio feud before the pot bust, obviously, and whatever else went on. But Del Rio has had strong support behind him. I think you can see that just by the pyro that he got at WrestleMania. It was a very big spectacle. WWE did put that money behind him. And I think Vince really just sat down and grabbed the paper and went to the war room with the creative team and said, you know what, guys? The best thing we can do in wrestling, even just to get a slight reaction, to get people to tune into us more, is to, like Vince likes to say, shake things up again. And that's when you change some basic things going on. You have the Mark Henry angle that happened tonight that I know a lot of people were really into and really supportive of Mark, that he did a good job faking the tears, obviously, and then playing into the whole thing. I think it was a little obvious with Cena being out there the whole time, but I still think it came off really good. And I want to get through this chronologically.
Let's go for it, man.
Off Raw tonight. Alberto Del Rio, and this goes to show you how much of a priority this feud is and getting Del Rio over as a heel.
And so fast. Right, the next night. We didn't waste any time. You said it. Like, they jumped into it last night.
Yeah.
They go right into it right again tonight. First opening segment, boom, and already you have a better reaction. There was no crickets for Del Rio like there was when he was a face.
Yeah, and he was really playing to the crowd as a heel. Throughout the night, there were a couple of segments shown repeating the opening segments of him playing to the crowd as a heel. One of the first things you saw when Del Rio made his entrance before he even got a microphone was a fan, a close-up of one fan with the thumbs down. And when WWE Production Truck does that, they're sending a clear signal as to what they want the viewers at home to do based on fan reaction in the building. So if they're showing that, they want the fans at home to boo him also. This was a clear switch and reversal since last night. I think it was smart because I think when it comes down to it, they wanted to have Ziggler, Del Rio, World Heavyweight Championship, and when Vince sat down in the war room, as I like to call it, he saw that Dolph was going to get over as a face with the fans, and Del Rio, it really wasn't working the past couple months, so let's try it the other way. He's a great ring worker. Let's have him work.
You say get over as a face with the fans, and the bottom line, I think, for Ziggler is that he was just getting over, period.
Yeah.
And Del Rio just wasn't. He wasn't. I really don't think he was even over that much as a heel before they even turned him face. People were tired of him. He was a little stale. We said he needed a change. They went the face direction, and obviously that fell flat on its face, no pun intended. So why not have him go against, and this is, I feel, help Del Rio turn heel, have him work with Dolph Ziggler, who is so over as a heel or face, whatever you want to call him,
right?
And eventually that will make people probably dislike Del Rio even more because they're going against one of the boys that they like in Dolph Ziggler. If you ever think about it that way, I think it's really, really just a simple thing to do.
It's an easy transition.
Like, if this guy's not getting over at all as a face or as a heel so much,
right,
put him against someone who's getting over and maybe have him get over. Like, they gave him the title last night. So now the fans are really going
to
hate him.
Yeah. I agree with all that. And I have to say, what I loved a lot about this opening segment was that there was another element to it that we didn't expect. And you have the newly babyface CM Punk as of his return last night. And he comes out and he's going to interact with Del Rio. And I don't think that's anything anybody saw coming. I don't think anybody saw coming from last night, we're going to produce something with Del Rio and CM Punk. So that was nice and fresh. You got to see Punk playing his new side of his character, Del Rio playing his new side of his character. Heyman got to mix it up, and there was some involvement there. He didn't really approve of what CM Punk was doing. And that starts Vicky coming out for the night. And I thought Vicky and Brad Maddox had a great night.
I thought Vicky and Brad Maddox were very good tonight.
Absolutely.
You know what I didn't care for? We'll get into that a little bit later.
We'll get into that. Before we even do that,
we have a lot
of people watching right now. We want to tell you, stay tuned, because it's a big night. Me and Joe are going to be with you probably for the next 40 minutes, and then we're going to air live, same way you're watching us right now, our exclusive interview with Mick Foley last night, talking about some great things. Even is going to answer the question, who does Mick Foley want to see face The Undertaker at WrestleMania 30? So stick around for that in about 40 minutes. Should be about 12 midnight Eastern
Someone gets the Foley rub, and I don't think anyone would be really surprised.
Absolutely, and he had a lot of great things to say. Of course, I asked him about some of his feuds with Triple H. And
I brought up the DDP cookie incident.
Absolutely, another great story, and I think you're all going to enjoy that, so make sure to stay tuned. But we've still got a lot to get through. And let's get into, now they go backstage with Punk and Heyman. And right away, Joe, you had last night, you could tell there was something going on in the match and post-match. Like we said on the show last night, referee raises Punk hands, not Heyman, at the end of the match. There was a WWE.com video.
I didn't see the video, but I saw the still shot of it.
And they were making more problems between the two of them. So now CM Punk tells Paul Heyman, I am not your client, I'm your friend, I don't need you at ringside anymore. And that's it. We are full-blown starting the breakaway of Punk from Heyman, because Heyman is such a strong mouthpiece entity for heels in the WWE that if they're going to do this with Punk and have him transition back to being a fan favorite, he has to get yanked away from Paul Heyman right away in order to keep the stock in both of them valuable, no doubt about it, on both sides of the fence. So that was a great little segment. And by the way, boom, another surprise. Before we even get a match, we're thinking Curtis Axel's going to defend his Intercontinental Championship against Wade Barrett. And here comes
Captain
your
Charisma.
Boy.
About time. WWE Universe gave me a retweet on that one.
I didn't see that. It's good stuff.
I did. I got that. I didn't let you know that one. I was saving that one to bring out.
Captain Charisma comes back.
Gets the pretty much a squash victory over Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett falling further and further.
Joe, you don't even have to look at the notes because we've been talking about this. We spoke about this last night. I said originally on the show last week, I can see that Curtis Axel is going to take the Intercontinental Championship in this match. It was important that it was important for WWE to get it off of Wade Barrett. That was the point all along. Fandango was going to do that if he was in the match. It ended up being Curtis Axel. Now they use Wade Barrett to get Christian over coming back, who is just out of nowhere.
And who might I add,
show me Wade Barrett is just.
And they did say, and they made sure they said on commentary, you know, before Christian came was out with the injury, he was an IC champion right before he went down with the injury. So they made sure to say that. Fandango's going to be out for maybe a couple more weeks. You could see maybe Christian him doing a little something.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about the note that they dropped right there, you'd have to think maybe Christian get involved in a little feud with Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental Championship, which you thought was a great.
You know, the funny thing is, they still kept the Miz out there on commentary watching Axel, and Barrett just pushed to the side. You know what? Yeah. I'm not going to lie. We both liked Wade Barrett very, very much from NXT from the start. We thought he had very, very good promise in his career, and right now, it just, when you get no reaction, this is what happens. He's going to have to find a way, like so many guys have, and so many guys also have not. He's got to find a way to connect with the fans because he's just not right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But hold on, bad finishers are never helping him.
Bad finishers, bad entrance themes, a whole bunch of them. Joe, I believe, said last night, who does he think he is? The Undertaker with about 21 themes right now.
Oh, yeah.
Wade Barrett, it's strange, Joe, because this is a guy that he does have some appeal. He's got a good look. He is of a good size. I don't think anybody would say that he doesn't know his way around the ring.
I like the Brits.
And you have to admit, like his kind of style in the ring, that mix of brawler and wrestling technician, that's a very good style.
I think he's good in the ring, just like I think Jack Swagger's good in the ring. But I also feel that neither one of them connect with fans. Cesaro is excellent in the ring. So I think Cesaro is better than both of them in the ring.
And we'll get to that. There was a little update for that.
He's not really connecting with the fans, so they gave him Zeb Coulter. Let's see how this goes.
Absolutely.
We'll get to that a little
later. Weird 2-on-1 match. Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes.
Not good news for these two guys either.
Sheamus. I don't really like how that was booked. The victim here was Cody, no doubt about it.
Exactly what I'm saying. Yes, they got the
point across, yeah.
But at the same time, two guys now have to defeat Sheamus.
Yeah,
Cody Rhodes, Sandow, two guys that were IC title hunters. Maybe even something more brewing. We always see a lot. We always saw a lot of promise in Sandow, even from getting beat up by DX. Like, oh wow, DX beat him up. He's going to be one of these kind of guys
that's
going to have a future. Cody Rhodes brings back the IC title. Like, oh, Cody Rhodes, they're thinking about doing some good stuff with him. And then what goes and happens is they break up Road Scholars, they put them back together, and these guys, they're in limbo right now doing mid-card work with Sheamus together. I mean, a lot of people don't like Cody Rhodes, but I see an upside in both Cody and Damian Sandow.
Yeah, and what's strange to me is that me and you see that upside in both of them, and I really do feel like they are definitely equal in where they are in the status of WWE roster right now, and then it's weird to see Cody being sacrificed like that, basically for the well-being of Damian Sandow. I know it's not going to make a big difference in the length of Cody's career, no matter what happens, that he got rolled up that he took a bro kick after the match from Sheamus and basically looked like a punk in the whole thing. But I don't get it, because I do see that stock with Cody. I see him and Sandow together in the same type of thing. I don't see why he's getting that jump over Cody. I don't think that was a good way to do it, but we'll see where this is going. Apparently, the pre-show did not end this last night, and Sandow and Sheamus are going to do future work together. Like we said, Joe, possibly transitioning into one of the Money in the Bank matches at the pay-per-view next month.
Just jump back to Cody. Just think of some of the things that Cody has done, good things. Dashing was very good with the paper bags. Even when he was grotesque, I liked it. He showed like a lot of different sides of the kind of character
his gimmick has
he
evolved.
Can be. He's done a few different things, and now you see that he has no gimmick right now.
Yeah.
He's got the mustache. That's all he's really working with. He hasn't really had any mic time. And when's the last time he had a really decent singles match?
No, it hasn't been a while.
He's gotten squashed a few times.
And I think that's the number one sin of WWE that most of us will come in here and complain about, is that even the guys necessarily that we're not fans of, and we know that they're not on the top of the pecking order, they don't get a minute to do an interview or a promo to make themselves meaningful, to even give a good crowd reaction on the way out. It's just sometimes they get into the habit of just sending guys through the curtain to do a match, and that is it. And that's something that me and Joe never really respond to. We always like to see a little character, even if a guy's going down bad, at least let him show something. It's like brings me back to the night that Nash powerbombed Santino and beat him in about 15 seconds. At least Santino got to come out there and play to the crowd and get a huge reaction and go over with his comedy bit a little bit. But then you get matches like Jericho squashing Heath Slater tonight, and it's just a total squash. It doesn't do Heath any service whatsoever. It doesn't do 3MB any service whatsoever. Triple H basically burying them.
He buried them in the back.
Earlier.
Jericho buried him in the ring, and you know what? Bottom line is that 3MB are just WWE job guys that are a little entertaining, that take good bumps, and that's what they are. And like I always say, you need guys like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Jericho needed a victory.
No, 100%.
And he doesn't need a victory at all, but
they needed to give the crowd a Chris Jericho entrance and match.
Yes.
They got it done. He got to be shown on the show. He got his payday. The crowd got to see one of the top wrestlers on the roster, and it all works out. And sometimes that's just how it is for certain wrestlers. They don't have a particular great program on tonight's thing. But you know what? That happens. It was a good show overall. What's so interesting about this show is that as I run through these matches, some of these were just totally meaningless and squashes, but we saw a lot of progression. Cesaro with the new manager, guys solidifying whether they are heel or face now, new feuds being brought together, feuds dying. Ryback not shown on the show at all tonight, Joe. John Cena clearly out of that feud going into something else. We're going to talk about that soon. But this was a night that I could say was marked by progression. And I think that's something that we all talk about and care about and gets over Monday Night Raw more than anything else. As soon as they actually put their minds down in the creative meeting and really do something and further the product, that's when we all sit here happy and enjoy watching the show, no doubt about it.
Well, let's move on now. We have Triple H. This is something that was a recurring theme throughout the night.
It's something I know you weren't too fond of,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, I mean, and I explained why and actually threw something in the chat room. But then we have Triple H, questioning Brad Maddox and Vicky's decision about, saying the Shield needs to be controlled. I mean, I'm going to jump right into it. And then Vince later on congratulates the Shield, says, oh, they're like him. So then we see this power struggle going on. Well, why don't you just deal with it right now?
Absolutely, go for it.
Power struggle goes on. You had Stephanie McMahon comes out to the ring.
During the Divas segment.
During a Divas segment, AJ.
During the wardrobe malfunction segment.
Which I actually did not catch this slip.
Oh, I have
slip.
A picture for you. All
right, give me the picture because I've been liking Caitlyn lately. I'm blushing a little bit. Either way, so Stephanie comes out of this showing her power over the Divas, even kind of like puts Caitlyn and the Divas down a little bit. Didn't like that so much, to be honest with you. And the power struggle between Vince and Triple H, I don't mind. I don't like Stephanie. I don't think she's a good actress. I don't like her on TV. And what else I didn't like? I don't like how her title on screen was executive of Weapon?
I'm not sure. Honestly.
It was either way. It was president or executive of creative.
Okay.
which I thought
why even throw the word
kayfabe a little bit.
That's
a good I mean, point. I thought it broke kayfabe a little bit. I don't know how you know how serious people are about it. I didn't like that, but overall, if you take Stephanie out of these segments, and I'm more okay with them than I was.
Well, I think
they bother me a little bit. It was just a little too much.
I think you'll be okay where it's going to go, Joe, because no matter what, yes, there is obviously the three of them are very, very powerful people, and there is that struggle there that they can show on camera like this with these different segments, and you have the three of them who are probably the most powerful people in WWE right now. We all know that. But Stephanie is going to back out of this a little bit. When it comes down to it, she but you know what? This is a good thing that she's being involved, because sometimes the greatest thing to have in the middle of any struggle, whether or not it's on WWE TV or in real life, is a go-between, a person who is equally emotionally invested on both sides of the fence. And you have a girl here who is a woman who is torn between her father and her husband. And both of these men are controlling a multi-million dollar company. So this, to me, speaks realism. I thought realism was a good word. For tonight, we had people talking about real injuries, obviously a stoppage of a match. We're going to get to that. But I think that Stephanie's role right now is okay, what they're doing with it. And I'm sure as we go forward, you're going to see her pull back a little bit from it. And this is really going to become about Triple H and Vince McMahon. And as it should, we had to get some kind of power struggle with the two of them at some point. And this is a good time to do it. I don't see any reason why not. And Vince is not getting
it. Well, here you go. In this power struggle, let's just start out there right now. Do we see maybe Vince putting up almost like an Umaga versus Bobby Lashley? That was a forgettable one, by the way.
Nice hair again, right?
No. I'm saying, do you see maybe Vince, you know, having somebody fight for him against the Triple H?
Yeah.
Because I don't mean... This isn't 1998 where Vince McMahon is doing the business and right. and is on camera like he was then.
Yeah.
And I don't think people even really want to see him that much into it like he was then. Well, he's a little older now.
The last time these two fought, if my memory serves me right, would be Armageddon 1999, Triple H versus Vince McMahon, the night that Stephanie turned on her father. So you're talking about a full 13 years plus since these guys have tied up. And Vince, like I said, is not getting any younger. The man is in amazing shape for his age. But does he need to be going out there and getting into a 20-plus minute brawl with somebody like Triple H? I don't think at this point it has to be done like that. And, Joe, you brought up a great point. If they do it through people, in other words, someone represents
Triple H. Maybe the Ryback represents Vinnie Mac or something.
Right, and you know what? Actually, I take back what I just said. Somebody doesn't have to represent Triple H. He could just...
No, I would say Triple H would fight somebody himself. Somebody could represent Vince.
Absolutely. And it's a good way to get somebody over. Vince in anybody's corner is exactly. Obviously a story. If Heyman could get people over by being in there,
but I just don't want something like Vince and Triple H to take up as much TV time as it had. I already feel like it's and this is just my opinion. You guys could disagree with me and call me an idiot. I like what I like, and you like what you like.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think it should take up that much time. But again, I like versatility, Joe. I like different things across our WWE show, especially if we're going to be watching 3 hours live every week. And I think it's good to mix it up. And a good old-fashioned pro wrestling power struggle storyline is something that's always going to keep recurring. And like me and you have repeatedly said over the past few weeks, if you're going to do something like this, at least let it be the McMahons, who we know are really calling the shots.
Yeah.
Not have these circus games with people like Vicky Guerrero, Teddy
Long. Again, another thing I tweeted, I'm like all of a sudden Vicky has all this power back again tonight.
Yeah.
She wasn't even on Payback last night. She was tweeting.
She's had one segment on Raw the past 3 weeks, and it involved eating a cheeseburger for an advertisement. So they really weren't doing much with them, and now all of a sudden they threw them back in. But it was cool to see how it was done. Obviously, she is going to answer to three people like Vince and Stephanie and Triple H.
Which I don't mind, but...
And you got to see how they played it.
You just don't need seven segments throughout the night.
I totally agree with that. What should have been the match of the night, I'm sure got called off earlier than they expected. Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton, the Raw active vote match of the night, picked up the no DQ stipulation. I really thought it had a shot for maybe 2 out of 3 falls, because these are two guys that are definitely, I'd love to see in a match like that. If there's rigging going on, who knows? But anyway, this ended up being a no DQ, and it was a really good match. Start to finish.
I liked it.
I really got away from
a really different kind of match for Orton, too.
I got away from Twitter for this match. I really just wanted to sit there and watch Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton go at it, because Orton is such a staple in the roster still. He's always going to be that guy who they could just pull out of nowhere and throw him into a big match.
Randy. Right. Well, we've been saying it for a while now, too.
And Bryan is hotter than anything in pro wrestling right now, no doubt about it. And the fans are riding his momentum, which is an amazing hot streak every single match. I mean, he just pumps that crowd up. So tonight was excellent. Not really sure if this is real, if this is a work. Some people said some people said they saw an X thrown up. I tend to think this was somewhat real, because I thought the interaction between Orton and Bryan at the end towards the guardrail on the outside, I thought that looked very real.
Dude.
Kind of like consoling him and talking to him in a low voice. If they were going to do something like this and they wanted to play it off, I think they would have put more attention into getting what they were saying and having that come off to the viewers. But it seemed like they were working when they were talking to each other, and they were trying to keep it down. It was between them. So it seemed like Bryan got a little roughed up in that match more than he wanted to. He really, if it was a real injury, you could see he did not want that match to stop right there. He knows the run that he's on
now. He's on a hot seat. And like you said, that just – it ended so abruptly. It was just going, going, going. And
to me, I immediately thought, oh, my God, what else can happen now? I mean, if Bryan really gets injured and we have to worry about Dolph, because we don't know what was up with last night. Again, let me say this again. We said this on the post show last night. I didn't think for 1 second Dolph was really injured. I don't think a guy like that would be taking repeated shots to the head anyway.
You got to be cutting those things close.
Right.
And for a guy who just got over a concussion,
and Del Rio,
he had to be 100% cleared. You can be taking something like that.
Saturday morning slam, no neck, no headshots. Like these are things that they already throw into the rules on certain shows of the week. And if he had to be protected, Del Rio wouldn't be going after him like that. But there you go. You saw Dolph come back tonight. So it looks like that is all good. But let's look at the situation right now. Fandango is super hot. He's injured. He's out right now.
He'll be back. He'll be a Money in the Bank guy.
I'm hoping Bryan is okay and that everything progresses nicely, and hopefully we get to see him on SmackDown. Should be a great one-on-one match with Dean Ambrose. Let's hope that goes down the right way. But like you said, Joe, just an abrupt and weird ending to this match. And one of the better times that I could say that WWE, if it wasn't work, you fooled us pretty good.
Yeah.
That was
I was watching the match. I turned my head for a second. I turned back, and the match was over.
Right.
And quiet.
Yeah,
and they had that quiet feel again with the commentators.
It was strange. It really was. So. If I had to say, I'm leaning more towards he was really injured.
Well, I'm gonna hope not, but either way, we're gonna go on. We touched on the AJ heel promo already. Apparently, there was a nipple slip. We said that Stephanie came out.
Not a bad segment.
Not a bad segment. I thought it was pretty good. Caitlin wasn't as good tonight as she was last night.
It's kind of like Stephanie forced her way into that segment. I knew when she came out.
She made sure she wore the higher heels so she'd be much taller than everybody.
Yeah, she's big. I mean, and AJ's tiny, so that was kind of like the best of both worlds.
I just don't like Stephanie McMahon. Never had.
Well, I mean, she's good looking.
Well,
she's
she was bad looking. I just don't like her.
I kind of like her.
I just don't like her.
I mean, those jeans, forget about it. But I, you know what? For a little Divas segment, I mean, even my fiance was watching.
Toby Michaels says, and the man says this, 200%, not 200%, not a work. Bryan couldn't move his arms in the ring, he says.
Okay.
So he's going not a work.
You know what? I trust Toby. He knows who he's talking about all the way over there Scotland.
And I'm going to have to agree with the People's Champ. We saw Caitlin's boob, this segment, overall success.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have the United States Championship rematch, Dean Ambrose versus Kane.
I was surprised to see this match again today.
Again so soon.
Then when they broke it up quickly, it became rather apparent that they were not having another full match, and it made sense again. And obviously, Triple H wanted something done about the Shield. We knew where this was going. Vince had to interject himself and go against what Triple H
said. I like this segment, though, how Vince said good job to the Shield. Yeah.
It's Vince.
And you know what? And I think that's Vince in real life, too. He knows. This is the future right here, and they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
People want to see that.
Vince is a very smart businessman. He knows what is hot. He pays attention to what is hot. I read a great article by Kevin Kelly earlier today, specifically speaking about Vince McMahon's group of like four or five people that he cares about what is happening with them. Apparently, most of the roster, Vince really does not check over creative or see what's going on with them, but he has his list of people that are top priority that he wants to know what they are doing, and that's business for him. And it seems like the Shield is probably on Vince's list right now because he knows that the fans have been giving a great reaction to them ever since Survivor Series when they debuted. So the Shield is definitely on the top of the pecking
order. And Fallen says it right here in the chat. He goes, Vince giving some young guys the rub the past few weeks. Even the congratulations to Axel.
Curtis Axel back.
Axel Hennig. Right.
Absolutely. Axel Hennig. Axel Hennig. Switch that. Yeah, we get that Shield segment with Vince. After that, Zeb Coulter comes out.
Like we had know predicted where this last, is going. Last night, actually. We said, do we see Coulter and Cesaro, they teased that a little bit.
I'm going to say at this point, I got a question on Twitter. Is Zeb Coulter forming a stable? I got to say right now, I don't think this is about Jack Swagger or a stable at all. I think this is about Swagger not really running with the train that was given to him. Obviously, there was a legal mess up. Zeb Coulter is an amazing mic worker who can do wonders for somebody as manager. And they weren't going to waste any more time wondering about whether Swagger was coming back from his injury or his court appearance next week. If he's getting jail time, go to WrestlingRumors.net for more info on that.
That's WrestlingRumors, R-U-M-O-R-S, no U in rumors.
But they take Zeb Coulter and they immediately make him productive and they throw him out there. And it's time for Antonio Cesaro push, take 17, I believe.
Well,
and
at least he's not yodeling. He lost the beanie. He's not speaking all five languages in the ring before or after the match. He's got the wraps around his legs again. We're seeing a whole new Antonio Cesaro. But either way, though, you know what? They have a very good manager. You got to use the managers. Managers in the 80s, 90s, they didn't have to have a stable that always worked together, but they had wrestlers under their wing, clients, so to say.
Right.
So if you have a guy like Zeb Coulter, who has that, who looks the part of the manager, always has, always will be, maybe even like hated and disliked by everybody, it may help somebody get over. You gotta use what you have. If Zeb Coulter's on the roster, use him, try to get somebody over like Cesaro, because like you said, Swagger, you know, who knows what's going on with him, and it just really wasn't working for him either, because Jack Swagger's just one of those guys we've always been saying, just never could connect.
It's not catching on. It's just
never
not,
could. Just and I praise. And years ago, I praised matches he had with Cena, saying he carried Cena through the match. But, you know, you can carry somebody through a wrestling match and not tell a story and not connect with anybody at all.
I don't think there's anybody who watched that Jack Swagger, John Cena Monday Night Raw match a few years ago, the night of the draft, back when ECW was even being drafted with Raw and SmackDown. And Jack Swagger just absolutely tore it up with John Cena. And everybody gave him credit from that moment on. Obviously, if we took notice, people backstage took notice. I think that has kept him his job for this long, was a moment like that where he worked with essentially the top guy in the industry for the past 10 years. So that has kept him around, but is the boat finally starting to sink? They have given his manager to somebody else. I don't see them wasting a ton of money, promotion, time in trying to get Jack Swagger over again. It didn't really work. They gave him an Elimination Chamber victory this year, rolled up Randy Orton for the final victory in that chamber. Me and you did not see that coming. That was a big win for him over a top guy like Randy Orton. And I don't see Swagger getting that kind of notoriety anymore. Yeah, I think, especially after the pop bust. I think WWE is going
to
look down.
And another guy that like we always bring back, we always go back to getting a title too early when he won that World Heavyweight Championship. How early was that? How premature was that for that guy to have that title and beat Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
He's a Money in the Bank
guy.
Not even
in wrestling gear. Dress pants, by the way.
Money in the Bank wins a World Heavyweight Championship. And I'm going to go flat out and say he was not ready yet. No. Just too green, not ready, bad call on that one.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree.
It's showing now.
Agree, totally. If you're not in the chat room, check it out. There's a live chat going on with a lot of great wrestling fans in there right now. WrestleReaction.net/watch. Watch the live video you're watching right now and chat right underneath it. Whole bunch of great people in there. Follow us on Twitter @Wrestle_React. Also, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/WrestleReaction. Do not go anywhere. 15 minutes from now, we're still rolling right now, but we are going to be putting on our Mick Foley interview we did last night. Some great things going to be talked about with Mick. He has some upcoming projects he wanted to promote. Going to be talking about Mick's career, Triple H feud. Like Joe said, some funny stories from the Have a Nice Day book. Obviously, who does Mick Foley want to see the Undertaker face at WrestleMania 30? Whole bunch of great things coming up very soon, right after we finish this Raw rundown. But getting into the next thing, Joe, after Cesaro, now we have John Cena comes out. And he's cutting a promo. Seems like he is burying the Ryback feud. That said and done, moving immediately on to talking about whoever wins the Money in the Bank briefcase to challenge for his WWE Championship. And John Cena, of all people, saying that there will not be an opportune time for anyone to cash in on him for the Money in the Bank. How ironic when the ultimate opportunist Edge was the person to cash in the first ever Money in the Bank on John Cena. So I had a little flashback there. Well, it was a good little line by
John. John may not want to get into any Elimination Chamber matches with Body Guy Lito and Masters and Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels, because Kane, I believe, was in that one also. Was he in that? Was Kane in that one?
Jericho.
So it was six men?
Yeah, it was six. Yeah,
either way, it was my favorite. It was my
really,
favorite
Elimination Chamber, yeah.
I loved it.
I mean, you were so pissed that Cena won, too.
Yeah,
I wanted. And then we were going nuts when Edge came out.
We wanted Kurt to win. Either way, Cena comes out, cuts his promo. The champ is here. Got a pretty good reaction, I thought. And then comes out.
Mark Henry.
That big, gigantic pink blazer that he said, even if you guys don't remember me, you guys are going to remember this jacket. And the man cried. The man put over his family.
Bravo.
I'm coming home.
I've seen a whole bunch of people try to cry on Raw over the past many years. I'm watching it and not do a good job. Mark Henry sold a lot of people on the fact that he was retiring tonight.
I don't know if he really sold anybody. But
I think a lot of people did things.
But you know what? When he put on the tears and was throwing the family into made you double think.
That I think at that point right there, a lot of people who were suspecting what was going to happen, they did lower their guard a little bit and say, okay, you know what? Maybe this is really going down. Educated people like me and you, I'm seeing John Cena there. I'm thinking about every single retirement I've ever seen.
He keeps Cena out there.
He's not there. Michael Cole totally gives it away, because basically the first line on commentary said the whole segment is, that is the one title that Mark Henry has never held.
And even Mark said,
as soon as that happened.
And he said, Mark said, I don't have many regrets. Obviously, one regret he has, that he got to hold the WWE Championship.
Yeah. And this is something, Joe, that me and you actually thought might happen after WrestleMania this year. Mark Henry came out strong over Ryback in on the WrestleMania card. A lot of people thought Ryback was going to win that match. And from that, we thought we might get Henry versus Cena. We might get Henry versus Ryback versus Cena, a combination of all three. And Henry just completely split off and got out of it after that first week after Mania. And it ended up becoming Ryback and Cena. So I'm really happy to see them go back to this and at least give it a shot for one pay-per-view. Because like me and you have consistently been putting over for the year that we've been doing Wrestle Reaction, Mark Henry has done some great stuff in the past few years in WWE. Some great bumps. He's had some great matches. He's put on great matches on Raw with world champions.
He's got a great catchphrase. I'm sorry, but That's What I Do is way better than Feed Me More and Ryback Rules.
100% agree. And he's got the crowd going with him. A good friend of ours was at WrestleMania with us, hasn't really watched wrestling in over 10 years, and he was very surprised at the crowd reaction that Mark Henry's got. Mark Henry has loyal people behind him. Obviously, he doesn't get a babyface crowd reaction, but he has people like us who know wrestling and appreciate wrestling and are saying, that guy's putting on good matches. He has a great gimmick. The big guy is finally looking like the big guy and putting people down. The whole pain thing, that's great also.
Exactly. I felt Mark Henry always had a connection with the fans because he was always I thought he was a good actor.
Yeah.
And he finally found his way to put together the matches with the acting.
Yeah.
He finally got it.
I think we all saw it the first time many, many years ago when they threw him into that thing with China when they were going out on the date. Mark Henry starts pulling out poetry.
Oh,
many of which Mark actually wrote himself.
I believe he did. He wrote a poem for Owen Hart, too.
Absolutely. And he used to read those on the air. The crowd really liked it. I tweeted about this earlier because, you know, just in case Mark was really retiring, I was thinking about some things. And I remember crystal clear the night he took China out on the date and was dancing and cleared the whole bar of all the people, him and her. It's classic stuff. Mark Henry has always done a better job on the sports entertainment side of sports entertainment. And I think he really has put it all together now, and hopefully they have a good match at Money in the Bank.
And, you know, Jazz brings up something, you know, just get on. He says, people respect Mark Henry. You know what? They respect him because he's been there for a long time. He's paid his dues. You've seen him down kind of at the bottom of the mid-card and really, really work his way up. He was sent down to OVW for a little while to hone his skills, to, you know, to really find his way, and he came back. This is a guy who, unlike a Swagger or someone like that who is really throwing a title early and stuff, this is a guy they connect with. Mark Henry has been there for such a long time, and like we always say, the longer you're there, you know, eventually the heart of these fans, you know, grows fonder with you. They respect you, or they booed you back in the day. The more they see you, and the more they see you progress, they're going to cheer you. Unlike somebody like Jack Swagger, who was thrown into a World Heavyweight Championship, fans not very accepting of that right away. And you see that he hasn't really progressed much since then.
No, 100% agree. Good point, Joe. Mark Henry right away backstage officially challenges for the WWE Championship. He wants his title shot, and that obviously is going to happen at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Interesting, though, I got a tweet online suggesting that maybe this is a way to get that WWE Championship on Mark Henry that he has always wanted and have him beat John Cena at the pay-per-view, Joe, and then have a quick WWE title Money in the Bank cash-in right at that same show.
Quick question right here from Honky, of course, throwing out a question. Number one, Ray Caitlin's slip from 1 to 10?
It was barely visible. That's like a 5.
Okay, also, since we brought up Money in the Bank and cashing in, you see RVD getting a W in Money in the Bank.
Getting a
win at Money in the Bank.
A win. A briefcase.
A briefcase.
No.
No briefcase or RVD. No.
I
think Doug O'Mac thinks
I'm going to tell you why.
His boy RVD.
This is Frank Manzo, Rules of Wrestling 101. Let's play Booker right now. If you are going to book Rob Van Dam to win a Money in the Bank match, you don't show promos for him at Money in the Bank and not have him on the show before, okay? This, to me, it seems like we know Rob Van Dam will get over. We know fans will want to see him. We can throw these packages out there. It's going to hype our pay-per-view even more, and it's going to hype the fact that Rob is participating in a Money in the Bank match. To win a Money in the Bank briefcase, I think they would have to have him on Raw the next few weeks to legitimately build him into that spot. It's one of those situations where he can just show up and interject himself into a famous gimmick match and be a part of it and get over. Much similar to guys coming into a Royal Rumble. They don't need to be there before that night. They just come out for it, participate, get over, and it ends up becoming a great thing. So in my opinion, RVD may have a shot at winning a briefcase if he is on WWE television before the pay-per-view. If he is showing up for the first time at the pay-per-view, I do not see him winning a briefcase. That is my official opinion.
Hmm. No briefcase for RVD, huh?
Don't think so. I don't think that with the amount of guys that are homegrown right now, at a younger age, have more stock to become what Vince McMahon would call a true main eventer, that they would take it away from them after building all year towards this event and give it to somebody like RVD, who, by the way, according to Dave Meltzer, is rumored to have a very short-term contract,
6 months to a year.
6 months
tops.
Less, maybe even less than
less.
That. No,
so I heard it was no more than six.
I heard something like three to six months, and that's
really?
It right now. I know maybe you predicted probably like a 1 year deal, which I thought would be
like
reasonable.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar type.
But
deal.
If they're not even giving him like 1 year out the gate, which is something they even signed for Matt Bloom when he came from Japan to do the Tensai thing. If they don't have that kind of stock in RVD to sign him for a year, I don't think they have stock in RVD to give him a briefcase. That right there tells me that I'm probably right in what I'm saying.
Somebody tweeted to us, and I had to agree and I had to bring this up, that the RVD promo packages on WWE Raw have already,
exceeded
everything and anything Rob Van Dam had done in the other company, that little company down
that
in
company
Florida.
TNA,
or was it Impact Wrestling?
Yeah.
And I have to agree. I mean, it's like RVD wasn't even wrestling for the past few years. And it's sad. It really is sad.
I have to say, though, as much Impact bashing as I do, JT Pruitt, our boy, one of our original fans, he told me, Frank, go back and watch Impact from Thursday night and check out the final match between Kurt Angle and AJ Styles. awesome. Well, I mean, can you expect anything
always,
less the first time we saw
TNA House Show? We always, always like Kurt versus AJ. But the thing we always say is, I mean, it could be a great match, but is it that great of a match if you only have it in front of 2,000 people instead of 55,000? True story.
But it was an excellent match.
Oh,
but,
no, it I always mean, is going
to
be.
Can you take anything away from those two guys or most of the performers in TNA? I always say bell to bell, it's some of the best wrestling you'll ever see. Maybe even more consistency than WWE has in their matches. But everything else is just it's just atrocious and hard to watch. But that was damn good. Getting back to Raw tonight, obviously we had Chris Jericho squashing Heath Slater, like we said before, just to get Y2J on the show.
Yeah, just came on the
light
show.
Up jacket.
Had a nice red one today, too. It was nice. I liked it. A lot of lights.
Curtis Axel defeats Sin Cara. Sin Cara, Joe, still getting mood lighting.
Again, I'm you know what? I get a little flack from somebody saying, oh, Sin Cara hasn't botched in a while. And I don't hate Sin Cara at all. I just don't understand why this guy gets mood lighting. He doesn't see well out of the mask, obviously.
We don't get mood lighting.
He doesn't see well out of the mask, obviously. He has a bad track record botching over the past 2 years. And I'm sorry.
So much so that they sell his figure with a sling.
Exactly. And I'm sorry. He's botched more moves in the past couple of years than someone like Chris Jericho has botched his probably his whole career
on TV. I agree with that.
On live TV.
I mean, me and you were joking about it in Madison Square Garden at Survivor Series 2011, and there goes Sin Cara out of the ring and injured and gone for another 6 months, and it was just me and you were just like cracking.
So, I mean, and you know, this is another guy who barely gets a full entrance, yet he gets this mood lighting. Let him wrestle a match with the lights on. There's no aura around Sin Cara anymore. He kind of destroyed that himself. Obviously you can't help injuries.
Right.
But, I mean, I like him, and I still want him to do good. I'm into the Lucha Libres. But I, you know what? Personally, I really thought that Junico did a better job as Sin Cara than Mystico did.
I actually totally agree with you, Joe.
I really do. I thought he wrestled better.
I would definitely agree with that. So obviously, Sin Cara not going anywhere, being used to bump up Curtis Axel. Kind of funny because I remember when it was the other way around. Sin Cara just came in and he was going over Michael McGillicuddy all over the place.
He only beat McGillicuddy 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago on. On Superstars, whatever it was.
That's right. And then McGillicuddy started a whole rant about how he was going to get him back, and then that's it.
Well, obviously, he got him back now. He's IC champ and just squashed him.
And we know who's going to get a push and be taken seriously in the world.
And yes, Dan Stu did just say that the lighting matched Axel's entrance, so it worked out. Oh, by the way, I also tweeted this. I was a little disappointed because I thought tonight would have been an excellent night for Curtis Axel to win a match with the Perfect Plex, and he did not.
Good point. I saw Doug O'Mac actually tweeted that at the same time as you. Very, very good stuff.
Yeah.
And
well, Doug over there, Wrestling Rumors, he's a pretty good wrestling
player. Yeah, they kind of know what they're talking about.
He knows
about
his stuff.
Over there.
John Alba, pretty good too. Give him a little shout out.
And of course, back to the main event segment, Punk and Del Rio had a good little match. I think we all knew it wasn't going to get an exact decision because both of these guys, Del Rio really being made to be a strong heel world champion right now. They're doing something valuable with him. Punk, all-time high hot right now, comes back last night to the Chicago crowd, has the best match him and Chris Jericho have had out of the three matches the past year, and that everything went really well from last night and tonight. The closing segment, it was kind of like they just piled on great stuff all night, one on top of the other into the pile, and then lo and behold, when it couldn't get any better, and I know a lot of people may have even been disappointed that the Wyatt family did not debut tonight, although me and you kept saying we don't really see it fitting in the right way yet. So
there's definitely no fit for CM Punk.
No. I
mean, if they jump CM Punk,
the show is busy.
Punk's going to end up going over the Wyatt family. Then what happens to the Wyatt family? They lose steam. Like I said, Pedro and I were saying it. He's thinking Brock Lesnar. I'm thinking Lesnar, but obviously not so early. But Wyatt family just did not make sense in any segment tonight, unless it was maybe a Chris Jericho takeout thing. But that obviously didn't come to pass.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I think they did the right thing keeping them off right now. There was a lot to digest tonight on Raw. I think they did a great job with it. Keep the Wyatts off. Maybe we get them next week. I think Vince is really diving head in right now and giving us a whole bunch of change, some new things going on, and it really could be a time of change in WWE. Every couple of years, we really do see a transition. We're at the point now where the guys who have been doing these attraction matches for the past few years, The Rock, Brock Lesnar obviously has some time around still. Triple H is not fighting as often as he used to be. The Undertaker is pretty much a one-match pony all year. And this is going to have to start going to Bryan, Ziggler, CM Punk, Del Rio, these types of guys, these homegrown, middle, you know, lower age WWE talents who are in that top tier main event to start carrying the show the right way. Obviously, we need a Brock match every couple of months to draw. I'm all for it.
And he draws. Everyone popped me when they heard the music hit tonight.
I loved it. You saw me, Joe. I was jumping around going crazy before we even went on the air. Right. And I said to my partner, Ray, I said, this show was great as it was, and they just threw on
right after,
icing on the cake.
Right after Ziggler coming right out on the on an hour.
And I thought that was great. I thought Dolph flew off the stage attacking Del Rio.
Great.
I mean, a whole bunch of tenacity going on there. I love the realism. I love when guys really go at it like that, because so many times we really forget that it's trying to be real. It is supposed to be taken seriously, and I love to see a heated rivalry rap like that. And the switcheroo they did with Del Rio and Ziggler last night, bravo. You guys did a great job, WWE, for that. I really thought it was good. I don't think anybody saw it coming so soon. I think we all knew Del Rio might get back to being a heel, Ziggler might get to being a face, but it happened a lot sooner than we thought. And, of course, icing on the cake tonight, Brock Lesnar. And like I said to you, Joe, he ain't even going to say a word. He's going to drop him.
I'm like, you got to tweet this right now before it happens.
He tosses him.
Because I don't know if you realize, but I made sure I tweeted that this segment needs a World's Strongest Slam and a That's What I Do, to end this segment. And then literally a second later, he pulls Cena in and gives him the World's Strongest Slam with a That's What I Do. And you know what? Brock Lesnar, thank goodness he didn't speak, because he just doesn't speak very well. And the F5 he gave CM Punk was great. He really tossed Punk.
That was
and
great.
You bring up a good point that you're saying, like, you know, I see where the interest in this match is, but there's just something about the body types here of Punk's lanky kind of look and Lesnar's just obviously gigantic, beastly look. Now that, you know, Punk's been training with Gracie and everything like that, maybe they're going to bring the submission holds in a little bit. You never know, probably. But CM Punk's gonna have, you know, he's gonna have a, you know, tough road ahead of him with Brock Lesnar. He's gonna have to carry then, but also at the same time, he's gonna have to carry a lot going in, because who knows how many Raws Brock's actually gonna be on. Maybe I'm gonna say right up until Money in the Bank.
But what does that mean, Joe? It means that instead of Brock, we're not gonna get a whole lot of his mouth anyway.
Well, now we're gonna have
Heyman going against CM Punk on the microphone. Could you ask for a better scenario on the microphone this day and age? I don't think you can give anybody one better than that, because that is some good stuff. So that makes
Does this match happen Money in the Bank or Slam?
I really saw this match happening at SummerSlam.
So did I. I think they're going to definitely push it.
I think they're pushing it too.
I think they're putting pedal to the metal and going Money in the Bank.
I think so also, especially since John Cena is fighting Mark Henry, and not to disrespect Mark, but as awesome as he is and as much of a main eventer as we consider him, that's not as good of a buy rate for a Cena title match as some other stuff they could do.
It seems
like they need another crowd match to carry.
It's a crowd pleaser, but not a pay-per-view buy rate kind of match.
I think Philly is going to be really hot for this pay-per-view with those kind of matches.
Honky wanted to know, I told him, you know what, they really haven't put out any of the participants yet.
Sure.
Who would win the Raw Money in the Bank? And you know what, just by going with the Cena Mark Henry thing, you had brought something up like this earlier. Do we see Daniel Bryan winning that and then maybe cashing out of Henry after he gets a victory?
Even if it doesn't go down that way, and maybe Bryan wins the briefcase and Cena still is the champion, and Bryan, since he's not really a heel, he doesn't cheat to win, but maybe he sets up a SummerSlam match with Cena, cashes in his Money in the Bank to face him at SummerSlam in a WWE title match.
So you can
Bryan
winning the briefcase.
I could definitely see Daniel Bryan winning the briefcase, and I think that's not a bad scenario either. I think what they've been doing is taking more established guys and having them win the Raw WWE title briefcase, and having the new up-and-comer guys who they need to make win the SmackDown briefcase. And obviously when Bryan won the SmackDown briefcase, that was the case for him. He needed to be made at that point. And he did a great job of doing that. Launched the world title win. Launched the Yes Chant. Launched the 18-second loss at WrestleMania, which is iconic and always will be played over and over again. And Bryan became a superstar out of it. So I think the role...
Again, just goes to show you that a squash loss in 18 seconds doesn't make or break anybody.
No. And Bryan was smart to say, I will do that and be a part of that, because... You know, you're on the losing end of it, but it's one of the most talked about and replayed WrestleMania matches and segments of all time. It's always going to be referenced. Always.
And I think me and you could both agree that Sheamus is here, and D. Brian's here.
Yes, yes. Brian is definitely above. Although, never count Sheamus out.
No. Sheamus has got a good following.
I expect Sheamus
still good wrestler
in the next year to come back up and start feuding for world titles again. But right now, they're moving him out and getting other people in, and that's a great thing to do because you bring people up to the higher status. You have Orton, Sheamus, Jericho, guys like that who obviously have the status already. They don't need to prove it to anybody, and you can mix them back in accordingly. So, WWE, bravo, the past two nights. I love the Payback pay-per-view. I thought it went well. I thought Ryback and Cena didn't disappoint at the end of the night, and they put on a better match than most people thought they would. And I thought Raw tonight came out of the gate swinging and did a great job of keeping our attention all through the 3 hours. I didn't really feel a down point tonight, Joe. I thought this was really good.
I mean, you'd have to give Raw two thumbs up tonight. Coming off of a pretty good pay-per-view. Like we said, that wasn't so predictable as it could have been. It was a little better than... We personally thought that that Cena and Ryback was better than expected.
Yes.
We were shocked by the Ziggler loss. We got a pretty good tag match. So, coming off a supposedly predictable pay-per-view.
A June B pay-per-view that wasn't supposed to do anything.
June B pay-per-view, then coming on to this Monday Night Raw. I mean, if Monday Night Raw was like this all the time, we'd have a great time doing this show. We'd have to bash anything.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for joining us for another Wrestle Reaction live after Raw. You know you guys can find us here every single week live after Raw, WrestleReaction.net. Also, make sure to check out WrestlingRumors.net all week long. Ton of news and rumors, a whole bunch of great things going on there on that site, a whole bunch of great people working for that site. Follow us on Twitter, @Wrestle_React. And do not go anywhere. We are signing off. I will be getting back in the chat room with you guys to chat right now, but we are going to air right now from Long Island, New York, home of us,
yes,
home of Hall of Famer Mick Foley, our interview that we take last night with Mick, and like I said, stick around right now. You're going to get to watch it exclusive, Wrestle Reaction and Mick Foley. Who does Mick Foley want to see face The Undertaker at WrestleMania 30? Find that out right now. Thank you very much for watching Wrestle Reaction tonight. Frank Manzo, Joe Omega, signing out. See you next week.
Have a nice day.